For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and look at them in Acts chapter 14 this morning. We're in Acts chapter 14, and seem like I've been there a good bit lately. And I love the book of Acts. It's an exciting book, though it's a transitional book. It's an exciting book. There's much there for us. In Acts chapter 14, pray for Cranberry Baptist Church this morning in Beckley, West Virginia. Their pastor of 33 years, Brother Roger Pauley, is retiring from the pulpit today, retiring from the pastorate. He and Marcia celebrating 50 years. If you're listening by live stream and if you live in the Beckley area, I hope that you'll go by. They'll have a drop-in today at the church. You can stop in and just thank them and fellowship. I'm sure there'll be some refreshments. And there at Cranberry Baptist Church. But pray for the new pastor, Kevin Cormican. And young man's, I'm sure, going to do a great work there. And smooth transition. And I love Brother Pauley. And thank God for his ministry. And so pray for that church today. And they're in good hands. Things moving forward. And I just wanted to share that today. Acts chapter 14. Beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. They were saved. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Look in verse 3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, this is kind of where we see the teachings of the experiences of the book of Acts, or experiencing the teachings of the book of Acts. And I think this is where we teach the experiences, or we experience the teaching of the book of Acts. People were being saved. And we still do that today. And much of this we're still doing today. And God's still doing signs and wonders, but we have no apostles here today. And we do not have the sign gifts in operation today. So there are things you have to kind of sift through as you read the book of Acts and understand them. And notice here in verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided. Now the gospel brings people together, but also it will divide. And the Bible says, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were going to kill them. No doubt about it. They were aware of it, verse 6, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and under the region that lieth round about. Now notice in verse 7, this is my text today, and there they preach the gospel. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful music that brought us to this place today, and how our hearts have been blessed and filled and warmed. And I pray now that as we read from the scriptures, Lord, that'd be true also here. And I pray, Lord, that'd be true of us, verse 7, that here in this place we preach the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose that it's been said for years by many. I've heard many preachers say who pastor in other areas, some who live in the Pacific Northwest say, this is a hard place to build a church. This is a hard place to preach. People are hard here. Then I hear people up in the New England area, they'll say, man, we need churches in New England. But it's a hard place up there, you know. And then I hear people sometimes in the Midwest, in the West, it's hard, you know, to go there. And then you hear people they'll say, you know, if you can pastor in West Virginia, now you can pastor anywhere. And that's a hard place in West Virginia. And on and on it goes. Then down in the Bible Belt, which really I guess we're a part of, people will say, you know, that Bible Belt, that's a hard place. Everybody's saved in the Bible Belt, you know, and everybody's heard the gospel. And you know what I've come to the conclusion over the years is that there's really no easy place to preach the gospel. You know, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. And now, it is easy to preach the gospel, and it should be easy to present the gospel. We ought to be excited and passionate about that. But people's hearts are hard everywhere. In the South, they're hard. In the North, they're hard. And overseas, they're hard. And West and East, they're hard. People are hard. As Fred Sarver so famously used to say, people are people. Peoples are people's people. And the people act like people. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul and Barnabas here and the missionary team are on their first missionary journey. They did not receive a warm welcome here in Antioch of Pisidia. They didn't get a warm welcome. And they didn't get the key to the city. In fact, most of the time they got the key to the jail wherever they went. And things were difficult. In fact, here on this first missionary journey, John Mark there in chapter 13, they ran into Sergius Paulus and Elymas the sorcerer. And it was a very difficult first exposure to a missionary team and missionary work for John Mark, a young Christian. And in fact, he went back. He said, man, I didn't sign up for this. I'm going back. And he did. But, you know, he had some growing to do, and God didn't give up on him. It wasn't that he fell into sin or anything like that. He just realized that this probably wasn't for him at this time. And so it was a rocky beginning. It was a rocky beginning. And they come to Antioch of Pisidia, which is in, it's kind of where, it's in South Galatia, and who people have said the Galatians were very fickle people, and they were. And it was in Asia. It was east of the seven churches of Asia Minor. And so it was a difficult place. But guess what? The gospel was working there. The light of the glorious gospel was working there on this first missionary journey. And it seems that there are no easy places to preach the gospel. Ripley, West Virginia is certainly a place that you might say has been saturated with the gospel. I don't know that to be true. I drive through town on a daily basis and see people I've never seen before in my life. You'd think you'd know everybody in Ripley. And you should know everybody because everybody waves at everybody. You know, that's the West Virginia way, Brother Brett. You go through Ripley, you go through, you know, you wave. Do they do that in Pennsylvania? Some do. Okay, good. In fact, I've got a friend in Pennsylvania, one anyway. Amen. But you know, you think about this. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How that He was buried and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. How that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and then of over 500 brethren at once. And Paul said, and last of all He was seen of me as an apostle born out of due time. He had seen the resurrected Christ, had been commissioned by the resurrected Christ. And sometimes I think we get under a juniper tree like Elijah and we just think, man, everybody's saved here. Everybody's heard it. Where can we go? Sometimes I hear fellows will say, I don't want to build on another man's ministry. And I understand all of that. But here's the thing. God has put us here for this time. The Bible says in verse 7, and there they preached the gospel. Had a rocky beginning. Demons, devils, detours. Dry holes, dead ends, as Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, all of that. Had a rocky beginning, but God was blessing in a great way. The scripture says here in verse 1, and by the way, the gospel still works if we'll work the gospel. The gospel still works if we'll work at the gospel. From opposition came opportunity. And so we come to chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas come to Iconium. And they'd left Antioch of Pisidia. And in fact, kind of got ran out. Paul stood there. And the Bible says in verse 51, he shook off the dust of their feet against them. Now, I don't think God wants us to do that today. You know, if someone rejects you, don't stand in their driveway and hit your shoes together and say, I ain't coming back, you know. But that's what Paul did. And so they come to Iconium, and it says in verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. We see over we see here in chapter 14, they come to Iconium, and in spite of opposition, in spite of recognition, negative or positive, in spite of people's disposition, there they preached the gospel. Some of you have family members that you've given the gospel to many times. Keep sharing the gospel. God's at work. You have neighbors that you're praying for. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep praying for them. Some people will get saved the first time they hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Some people, it takes them a time to come to Christ. Keep preaching the gospel. We must keep preaching the gospel here. We must keep these home fires burning to keep all these missionaries on the field around the world. I'm glad that the sun never sets upon the mission program of our church, but we've got to keep preaching the gospel. Whether it's out at the fair, whether it's at camp, whether it's vacation Bible school, whether it's in your little office space, or whether it's in the plant where you work, or whether it's at the hospital where you work, or the school in which you teach. You know, I'm thrilled that here in Jackson County, on Monday, next Monday, the 21st, that in every school, I think in every school in Jackson County, someone will be standing in the doorway praying for the teachers and staff, and praying for the children, and praying for safety for the schools of Jackson County Public Schools, and some Christian schools too. I'm glad for that. But you know, that doesn't absolve us of what God's called us to do, to reach our Jerusalem, and to keep a fresh vision for our Jerusalem, to keep seeing people as God sees them, through God's eye and through God's lens. And it's just amazing, verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. What are we going to do? Peter said, Lord, what other message do we have? We don't have any other message. Who are we going to go to if we don't go to you? Who are we going to lift up if it's not you? We have no other message. We have no other mandate. And there they preached the gospel. You say, well, that's a good way to build a church, but you know, it's God's job to build the church. We're to preach the gospel. We're to train disciples. We're to baptize converts. By the way, if you get baptized now, we'll probably have to go to the creek or the lake. But we'll baptize you. Amen. We'll dunk you. We have a little issue up here, but working on that. But notice, in spite of tradition, there they preached the gospel. They came to Iconium, and it says they both went together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake. And it says, it doesn't say they told funny stories. It doesn't say they had great illustrations. It doesn't say they had 3 points in a prayer. It doesn't say they read the headlines of the news and made the Bible relevant. It just says there they preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel. The gospel, the death, and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ was the answer. Christ was the message. Christ was what they presented. Christ was the free gift. In spite of all of that, in spite of tradition, they preached the gospel. In spite of it, they gave the gospel clearly. That was the way Paul often would do. He would go into the synagogue where people were already thinking about the things of God. They already had the Old Testament scriptures open. They were already thinking and already discussing and already. And so Paul, who had been a member of the Sanhedrin, would go in and he knew the law inside and out. And it was a great place. It was a good launching point for the gospel. And he would go into those synagogues and just out of respect, they'd say, we have Saul of Tarsus. We have Paul here. And Paul, would you like to say a word? Well, I would. And he would stand up and clearly and concisely and cross-culturally, he would just give the gospel. Christ, who died for the sins of mankind, loves you and was buried and rose again and ever lives at the right hand of God in spite of tradition. It says over in chapter 13, verse 44, they were in Antioch of Pisidia there. Chapter 14, they were in Iconium, but in chapter 13, verse 44, they were in Antioch, that place there, southern Galatia. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Think about that. Almost the whole city was gathered to hear the word of God. And it says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. They said, they've got a bigger crowd than we do. And so they became jealous and spake against those things which are spoken by Paul, contradicting, blaspheming. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary. Now listen to this, verse 46. This is what he said to those that were opposing him. He said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jew first. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, what a way to put it. Paul said, since you have judged yourselves unworthy to go to heaven, we're going to go to the Gentiles. Now, you don't think that didn't just tweak them? I mean, the Gentiles were dogs. The Gentiles were the offscouring. By the way, that's me and you. And they said, he said, all right, you don't want heaven? You don't want Jesus? You don't want any of this? We'll go to the Gentiles. And you know what? Thank God he did. Thank God he obeyed the Macedonian call. And he says, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us. And he said in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. By the way, I'm glad. And glorified the word of the Lord. And it says in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. They raised persecution. The chief men of the city, they expelled them out of their coasts. In spite of tradition, they preached the gospel and people were saved. Now you say, preacher, what traditions do we have in West Virginia? We have many. We have many. I'm not going to get into all of our traditions, but we have them. And every area has them. Every area has them. And, I understand that. But you know what? Even though all around us is changing, I'm not saying that we're just so hard and fast that we never change anything and we're just stubborn and abrasive and things like that. I'm not saying that. But I am saying as far as this message of the gospel, we are stubborn. We must be bold in its giving and its sharing with others in spite of tradition. I mean, what if we did everything backwards next Sunday? Some of you just fall out of the pew. What if we didn't sing three songs? What if we sang one song? What if we sang 10 songs? You know, I'm just saying we need to make room for the Lord. He wants to show up, doesn't he? He's here. In spite of tradition, but then notice this, in spite of the tongue. Look in verse 2, chapter 14. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. In spite of slander and gossip, enemies joined forces against the gospel. And we're seeing that today. May God help us wherever we live, just to double down on this matter of verse 7. There they preach the gospel. There they preach the gospel. Make much of Jesus. Make much of Him. Lift Him up. Lift him up in our message and lift him up in our lives and lift him up at the office and lift him up at the plant and lift him up out on the pipeline and lift him up in your neighborhood. Lift Jesus up. Get people to Christ. I'm not a great fan of live streaming now. But I'm trying to use it. I'm just trying to get folks, listen, any way I can get you under the sound of the gospel that Jesus died for us and was buried and rose again, watch our live stream. You may not want to come. but what, just watch the live, listen to the podcast. You know, go back, watch an archive. If I can get someone in front of the gospel, I mean, if someone's lost and dying and going to hell, they don't have to come here and sit in the pew and walk the aisle here and get saved right here. They can get saved out there on the back 40 in the bean patch at their house. I mean, whatever way we can get the gospel out in a biblical way. I don't know if they do watch. I mean, I've given out a lot of those hope cards, those gospel film cards. And I'll tell you, young people know that. I pull that out and I'll say, hey, here's something you can, a 14-minute film you can watch, and you can just scan this QR code. And you know, young people and whatever Z, Generation Z, whatever, whoever they are, I mean, they'll take their, it's a QR, yeah, and they'll scan it right there and give the card back. No, keep the card. Well, I've already got it. You know, I've got it here. And many times they'll say, I'll watch that. 14 minutes. I say, a friend of mine put this together, Caleb Garraway. He's a good man, and it's done well. And, you know, when we put things out there, it ought to be done well. And just watch this 14 minutes sometime today. Will you do that? Getting the gospel out. In spite of tradition, in spite of people's tongues. And people's tongues wag. Sometimes God's people's tongues wag, unfortunately. And get in the way of the gospel. May we never lose sight of the gospel. We have a big God and a big commission. It's called Great Commission. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Enemies joined forces against God. In spite of slander, in spite of gossip, just keep giving the gospel. Keep giving the gospel. Number three, notice this. In spite of time, they continued to give the gospel. Look in verse 3. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Long time. I don't know how long it was, but this was a missionary journey. You know, long time. Don't become discouraged in praying for those that you have a burden for. Sometimes it takes a long time. A long time. But it doesn't take God a long time to save a sinner. But missions is a long time project. It is a lifelong effort. We continue to do. I've been here almost 25 years and we just continue. We continue to try to send missionaries out and be a missionary every day right here. It takes time. It takes time. I mean, we may see someone make a profession and they may not grow the way we would want them to grow. We have people here today that started to this church as a child in the bus ministry, but they're here today with their family. Takes time. Takes time. I talked to a young man yesterday out on a bus route and he's a man now. Family. And he was looking back years ago, rode the bus here. And I mean, he's not where he ought to be with the Lord, but he realizes, you know, that he was young and stupid and did some dumb things in his life. And he said, I put all that behind me. Very respectful, thankful for the bus ministry, thankful for this church. May God help our church to be known as a gospel-centered place, as a gospel-preaching place, as a gospel-sowing place. It's the gospel. There they preached. There they preached the gospel. It says, long time abode they there. A long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. Just kept at it, kept at it, kept at it, kept at it. Long time. Number four, notice this. In spite of all of that, they gave testimony. Notice there was tradition that they were up against, and tradition's hard. And the tongues that were wagging and time that was pressing. But notice in the midst of all, they had a testimony. In verse 3, long time, therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony under the word of his grace. They gave testimony. You say, preacher, I don't feel real confident with the Romans road. I don't feel real confident with John's journey. I don't feel real confident in explaining how you know your assurance and all of that. Start with your testimony. And there they preach the gospel. Give your testimony. Share your testimony. It's not just for the preacher. The preacher ought to be diligent about that. But God gives us all a testimony, a testimony. You'll see people this week that I'll never see. The deacons will never see, and Sunday school teachers will never see. Our staff will never see. You'll have opportunity as we go out of this place, and that's what God wants the church to do. To be a testimony, a light in the community. Paul shared his testimony often. And he got to the point. He got to the point. They say, Paul, you have something to say? He's up there on Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, among all those philosophers and all of that. They said, you have something to say? And Paul saw an inscription there, said, to the unknown God. He says, well, I do. Let me tell you about how that unknown God can become known to you. And he gave his testimony. He said, I was walking on this road one day. I was arresting Christians, and all of a sudden a light from heaven knocked me flat on my back and said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He gave that testimony. Just tell how you got saved. You say, well, my testimony's not real exciting. I got saved at 5 years old or 6 years old or 7 years old. That is exciting. That's exciting. I think sometimes in our Baptist circles we think, man, if God didn't save us out of the ditch, we don't have a testimony. It takes as much of the grace of God to keep you out of the ditch as it does to pull you from the ditch. There they preached the gospel. We had a ton of things in our bulletin today. And I'm for all of them. I'm not mad. I'm not fussing. But I'm just saying, if in the midst of all of these things we're not preaching the gospel, then we're not really functioning as a church. Amen. I mean, it doesn't matter how good of a putt putter you are. Doesn't matter how good you can drive a golf ball. It doesn't matter and I don't even know what all we're doing. Eat a watermelon. Doesn't matter if there we're not preaching the gospel. We can hand out a million jars of peanut butter and jelly over here in the food pantry, but if we're not preaching the gospel, that's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of our church from 1866 until 2023. Is that here on this corner where we've not always been, but this is where God has us now. This is where we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel, and everything that goes out of here, every ministry that goes out of here ought to be preaching the gospel. That's what God's called us to do. What did they do? It says in verse 3, they gave testimony of his grace. You can do that. Give testimony of his grace. Just give testimony. You have a testimony. Finally, notice this. There was triumph in it. There was tradition they faced. There was wagging tongues that they came up against. There was time, the time element. And by the way, time is creeping by. Life is a vapor. They had a testimony to give, and in the midst of it all, God gave triumph in the midst of it all. Look over in verse 19. In verse 8, it says they met a certain man at Lystra that had never walked. And God healed him, and he leaped and walked in verse 10. And the people saw what Paul had done. They lifted up their voice, and they wanted to bow down at their feet. They called them gods. They said, "You're Mercury and Jupiter." And Paul said, "Oh, no. No, we're not that at all." But they recognized that a miracle had taken place. But notice the fickleness of people. And by the way, they went from many people to one man. And that's where we need to be. You know, we all want to reach hundreds and thousands of people. We did this mailing, this Project 55 recently, and put a John Romans in every home and every business in Jackson County. But it doesn't stop there. We've not fulfilled the Great Commission, you know. But there they preached the gospel. They went from many to one. And this certain man in verse 8, impotent in his feet, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked, the same heard Paul speak. And he leaped and walked. And the Bible says, beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, he was healed. And I think he got saved that day. And the people were bowing down to them and all of that. And they went from that to verse 19, where they picked up stones to kill him. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch in verse 19 and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Many believe that Paul did die here, that God raised him from the dead. Certainly, God did a work in his heart. It says they stoned Paul. How they would often do it, they would have a place outside the city where there's a large hole or a kind of a crater-like place, and they would put the victim down in there, and they would stand around the rim of the hole and cast stones until the victim died. It was a terrible way to die. And Paul was stoned, and they left him for dead, supposing him to be dead, the Bible says in verse 19. They drug him outside of the city as so much refuse. They just drug him out there, left him bloody, broken, bleeding. Howbeit, I like this, verse 20, as the disciples stood round about him. Thank God there were some believers that hung in there. They didn't know what they were going to do, but they just wanted to be with Paul. They didn't know what had happened. They didn't know why it happened. But they were still with him. And I'm sure that they were going to clean him up or help him, bandage up his wounds or whatever. Maybe they didn't have time to do that, because it says in verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. He got up. He got up out of the dirt. And what did he do? He said, "I'm going to go write a book and start a tour on how I survived a stoning." Doesn't say that. He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. 60 miles. I'm talking about after a stoning. I'm sure he had teeth that were gone. His lips were probably turned inside out. His eyes were swollen. His face was swollen. Probably had ribs broken. Body was broken up. And he walked 60 miles to Derbe. And don't miss this. Don't miss this. And in verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, surely the Lord wouldn't mind, Paul, if I took a couple of days off here. I mean, just a few days, just if I could just stitch up some of the wounds and wrap up my ribs. And you know, the pain that comes from just a cracked rib. If maybe the hematoma could go out and the blood would go out of my head, and maybe we could just take a couple of days off. Paul walked 60 miles plus to Derbe and there preached the gospel to that city. I read that and it convicts me. The Bible says when they preached the gospel to that city, And it taught many. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. You say, where was the triumph in all of this? Verse 21, that Derbe heard the gospel. I'm sure Barnabas was right along beside of him, propping him up. I'm sure Barnabas was saying, Paul, we're with you. We're beside of you. Luke was there. But what happened? People got saved. But notice five things in this triumphant ending of the first missionary journey. There were souls that were confirmed. Look in verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples. Secondly, exhorting them. There was exhortation. There was confirmation. There was a continuation. Look in verse 22. Continue in the faith. That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Not only was there a confirming and exhorting and a continuing, there was ordaining. Verse 23. When they had ordained them elders in every church, there were preachers that were being called to preach, and they were training them and sending them out and ordaining them for the ministry. And there was a commending. Verse 23. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. No easy place to preach the gospel. This sure makes Ripley look a lot better, doesn't it? They went from many people to one man. We see the fickleness and the flesh of man, but the gospel still works if we'll work it. And there they preached the gospel. Now you might be here today. You say, preacher, the truth is we're all either missionaries or mission fields. We either need to be saved or need to be telling someone else how to be saved. You may be here today not saved. And you say, preacher, I don't understand all of this. Let me just say this. God loves you and sent His dear Son to die for your sins. He was the perfect Son of God who left heaven, came to earth, and took upon Himself the form of man. And He never sinned. Where we have sinned, He never sinned. His birth was perfect. His life was perfect. His death, when He died on the cross at 33 years old, they nailed Him to an old rugged cross. And all of our sins, past, present, future, were laid upon Him on Calvary, on that cross. And He cried, "It is finished." The atonement was made. Our sin debt was paid in full. All you have to do is by faith receive it as yours. Will you do that today? Will you accept Him by faith? It has to be by faith. That was 2,000 years ago, but we see the Scriptures and so many things that we realize that this is all very real. They put Him in the grave, and 3 days later He got up out of the grave. He walked this earth for 40 days and went back to heaven where He lives at the right hand of God. And He's coming again. That's the gospel message. Now we get tired, I understand. There are a lot of things going on. But may God help us never to miss verse 7. There they preached the gospel. Ripley, well, there's a church on every corner in Ripley. But this is the only one we're responsible for. There they preached the gospel. Here in Ripley, we preach the gospel. Jackson County, we preach the gospel. Roan County, we preach the gospel. Wirt County, we preach the gospel. Mason County, we preach the gospel. Kanawha County, we preach the gospel. You want to sing the 55 county song that we learned in grade school? But here, there, they preached the gospel. And may the Lord help us to do the same.